Park Place, Thursday morning, 16th May 1974. Let us begin with a short consideration of that great teaching of the Buddha. Whatsoever hath a beginning, that by nature hath an end. And you may recall how in the texts there is a description of the effect of those words on two people who became two of the greatest of the Buddha's disciples. On hearing these words, they said, "Never before has this profound truth been pronounced." Now, of course, we may wonder why such a statement was regarded as such a profound truth. After all, in our ordinary everyday experience, we do know that you begin something and it comes to an end, sooner or later. The things of the world begin and come to an end, and we know that. So that was obviously not the reason why Sariputta and Moggallana declared that this was such a profound truth, never heard before. The word used in the text for things, whatsoever things have a beginning, is dhamma. And this word dhamma, which is the plural, has so many deep meanings. The ordinary meaning is a doctrine, a teaching, a system of thought, something laid down as truth. And excepting for the holy ones themselves, people always regarded these truths as immutable. We still have the phrase in the English language, the eternal verities, something which will never change. Now, these dhamma also refer to mental states, to the constructs made by our minds of the nature of reality. And the mistake we make is to think that these constructs will stand forever, unchangeable, immutable, the rock of ages. But the Blessed One knew what happens to all these constructs, that all of them are anatta, not absolute reality. They are only relative. And when Sariputta and Moggallana heard these words, it came like a flash upon them that what was regarded as immutable truth, as far as the expression in thought and speech of that truth was concerned, was only temporal, ephemeral. And so, that great binding factor, grasping, even at truth, disappeared, and they were free in their own inner minds. Now when we come to ourselves, here and now, this tendency to grasp and to hold on to find an anchor, a place of refuge, is very, very strong in us. We are still like little children groping our way through the forest. And we like to believe that there is something to guide us and keep us safe. We are afraid to face reality. So we don't like the idea that something which seems everlasting, eternal, safe, will come to an end. But the truth is that that too comes to an end. Now, because we are not strong enough, we are not capable of realizing truth as the only comforter, we are loath to see the ending of that which was agreeable, that which was pleasant, that which we like, which gave us a momentary happiness. And so, when it comes to meeting together and then going away, there is a tinge of grey surrounding the clear light of the sun. We must be mindful of this. And if we are really mindful, we shall grow in the power to cease to grasp. And it is in ceasing to grasp that the real comfort, the real strength of the spirit lies, and the happiness that does not change. The happiness which is not caged in a particular form. Therefore, as the forms pass away, our happiness remains enshrined in every new form that emerges from moment to moment. And this is one of the great secrets of happiness, of inward calm and poise for every one of us. I hope that these 8 days have meant something for all of us. Something which we will not treasure in the sense of boxing it up in a velvet-lined box and locking it up in our steel safes. This treasure which we may have gathered here during these 8 days is something so free that it is empty. It is void. It is utterly transparent. And because of that transparency, it is the mysterious, invisible source continuously creating new treasure from instant to instant. Sri Krishna said to Arjuna, I am the abode of Brahman, the inexhaustible. That inexhaustibility is within us and through us. It is we who, through grasping, introduce the illusion and the sorrow of exhaustibility. Therefore, let the mind and the heart be open. Insofar as we have lived in amity, in pure friendliness, as I said at the beginning last week, insofar as we can and have lived like milk and water blending, that far we are free in ourselves, nothing has been grasped, and therefore every one of us is enriched by it. I hope we all take away not only this wonderful sunshine with which the weather gods have so kindly and generously gifted us, but also the sunshine of inward realization, some slightly deeper vision of truth, of reality. And granting that we are not grasping for something in the future, but only trying to foresee a possibility, I hope we will meet again here next year, very much nearer the realization of our true humanhood, which means the fulfillment of the religiousness within our being. We have some time left, and I think it would be good if we spent this time in a meditation somewhat similar to the one which we had yesterday afternoon. So let the whole body be at ease. Free of all tensions and strains, pelvic and abdominal region, knees, ankles, feet, diaphragm, chest, neck, let the head be very sensitively poised. The neck is the bridge between the head, which contains the sense organs and the brain, and the rest of the body, which is used for locomotion, for action, and for the general running works of the whole system. Let the spine be elastic and erect, comfortable. And let the rhythm of the breath be established. Let the state of peace permeate the whole psychophysical organism. In tune with the rhythm of the breath, which is the life rhythm, and let your attention be directed towards the center between the eyebrows. And let the whole of the brain be suffused, irradiated with peace and with the strength of that peace, the strength which is infinite resiliency. And visualize it from the brain spreading right through the whole body, downwards and upwards towards the zenith, and extending around us. A vibrant, intensely powerful peace. Letting the rhythm of the breath be perfect all the time, suffuse the whole being, the psychophysical being, with friendliness. No criticism of the self, no antagonism or hate, no room for remorse or regret. Suffuse this organism with loving kindness, metta, and with compassion, karuna. Thus this body, which is the temple, is filled with pure love, non-possessive, non-grasping, dispassionate, peaceful, happy. Let this metta and karuna spread out to envelop the whole group here present. And the healing stream of wise compassion and compassionate wisdom restores harmony, perfect harmony between each and every one of us. Let the feeling of all this be in rhythm with the breath rhythm. And thus, every impurity, every disharmony is made spotlessly pure and clean, transformed by this healing stream radiating out of each and every one of us. We are restored to one all-embracing brotherhood in the living sense. And again, in tune with the rhythm of the breath, let it go out to this entire center. Bathe it with loving kindness and compassion, so that, as the Buddha himself said, every bit of it is drenched, is suffused with loving kindness and compassion. insofar as this compassionate state is maintained, its peace and its silence absorbs and transforms everything which in the ordinary way is a noisy intrusion upon one's awareness. Just as the infinite solitudes of space contain all the galaxies and suns and stars and planets, so too what we call the disturbances, the disharmonies, are contained within this heart of love. And it is in this way that every single moment is a new moment, a creatively renewed moment. We do not have to seek love to cultivate it. If we are quiet and silent, love is there. And when love is there, death is the great transmuter, the perfecter, the one that brings to ultimate fruition, which means the unhindered release into the new pulse of creative life. The great artists of the world, unconsciously at least, knew this and enshrined this great truth in their creations of beauty, that love and death and life are one and the same thing. And in the state of compassion, in the state of peace, with the rhythm of life going through you, try and feel this unity of this triad, love and death and life. And if you can feel it, fear and anxiety disappear. And if you can feel it strongly enough and infuse mindfulness from moment to moment during the day, with that feeling, you are in tune with the pulse of creation continuously. This is the constant communion which is actually present here now, and it doesn't need to be held as a thought. So we'll spend just another minute in this silence, this compassion. And may the benediction of transcendence be present with us all constantly.